I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
The scripture reading today is Genesis 9, 8 through 17. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "Behold, I establish my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, and every beast on the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. I establish my covenant with you, that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all generations. I set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth, and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will look up on it and remember that the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth." God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all the flesh that is upon the earth." May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his word.
Thank you, Troy. This scripture that Troy just read tells us about God doing something that some of us may find a little strange or unusual, and that is God puts the rainbow as a reminder. As a reminder. And the question is, does God need reminders, or is that rainbow there for us? God says, "I'm going to put it up there so that I'll remember." But I really think God likes for us to remember. And God gives us all kinds of signs to remember things. And I mean, think about it. For those of you who are younger, you may not have this issue, but have you ever needed a reminder to do something? Someone laughed. Maybe you looked at your spouse and said, "Would you remind me to carry out the trash?" You ever say that, Troy? And how about, okay, well, let's try this one. Maybe it was, "Honey, would you remind me that I have a meeting this evening that I need to go to?" You've asked for reminders, right? You've had people around you. I mean, which is it? Do you ask someone to remind you? Do you make a note to yourself? How does that work for you? Some of us need reminders all the time. We may have the reminders pop up on our cell phones, on our computers, or again, we might write notes. However we do it, we want reminders so we won't forget important things. And I think flooding the earth is an important thing to remember not to do. Which leads us to this question: what is important to you? What do you want to remind your family of, or the people in your life, when your days here on earth are done? What do you want people to remember? What sign are you setting? Johann Sebastian Bach was born into the musical family of Bachs in 1685. By the age of 10, both of his parents were dead. Early in his friction-filled life, young Johann determined he would write music. Music for the glory of God. And this he did. Most of Bach's works are explicitly biblical. Albert Schweitzer referred to him as the fifth evangelist, thus comparing him to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. At age 17, Bach became the organist at the church, and soon thereafter, he was given charge of the entire music ministry. During his ministry in Weimar, Germany, he wrote a new cantata every month, every month. And during 1 3-year period, he wrote, conducted, orchestrated, and performed with his choir and orchestra a new cantata every week. no one had any idea what a mark Bach would leave. What a reminder of his great legacy. And his legacy lives on some 300 years later. You can hear his music at will. At the beginning of every authentic manuscript, one will find the letters JJ. This stands for Jesus Java, Jesus help me. At the end of each original manuscript, you will find the letters SDG. This stands for Soli Deo Gloria, to the glory of God. Bach is a reminder that one who gives his life to Jesus and serves him does not count it for loss. Now, God set a rainbow in the sky as a reminder of his covenant with his people. Do we really believe that God needed that reminder? Or was God really saying, this is a reminder for you, and I would like for you to leave reminders for people so that they will know that you were mine? So every time we see the rainbow, we know that God keeps his covenants. What other kind of reminders are there? Again, what reminders do you choose to leave that others will remember about you? You remember Dave Thomas, Wendy's? You remember those wonderful commercials, Where's the Beef? When Dave Thomas died in early 2002, he left behind more than just thousands of Wendy's restaurants. He also left a legacy of being a practical, hardworking man who was respected for his down-to-earth values. Among the pieces of good advice that have outlived the smiling entrepreneur is his view of what Christians should be doing with their lives. Thomas, who as a youngster was influenced for Christ by his grandmother, said that believers should be roll-up-your-sleeves Christians. In his book, Well Done, Thomas said, "Roll up your shirt sleeves, Christians. See Christianity as faith and action." They still make the time to talk with God through prayer, study scripture with devotion, be super active in their church, and take their ministry to others to spread the good word. He went on to say they are anonymous people who are doing good for Christ, maybe doing even more good than all the well-known Christians in the world. That statement has more meat in it than a Wendy's triple burger. Thomas knew about hard work in the restaurant business, and he knew it is vital in the spiritual world also. He says, let's roll up our shirt sleeves. There is plenty to do. Dave left a reminder of hard work and commitment. That's what his family remembers when they think of him. And according to psychologist William Damon, respect for the parent who exercises proper authority leads to respect for legitimate social institutions and to respect for the law. In his book, The Moral Child, Damon writes, the child's respect for parental authority sets the direction for civilized participation in the social order when the child later begins assuming the rights and responsibilities of full citizenship. Damon calls this respect the single most important legacy that comes out of the child's relations with the parent. Now that's an awesome reminder. If we look at what our society is doing and see that it's what we do that creates what happens afterward, makes it all the more urgent to have reminders, makes it all the more necessary for us to remember that children learn from their parents, and if the parents are faithful to God, the children will be faithful to God. What kind of reminders? What kind of reminders do we leave? I'm going to share an obituary with you. This was sent to me a few years ago, and I'll tell you the story of it. But here's the obituary. Jerusalem, 33 AD. Calvary. Jesus the Christ, 33 of Nazareth, died Friday on Mount Calvary, also known as Golgotha, the place of the skull. Jesus was crucified by the Romans by order of the ruler Pontius Pilate. The causes of death were asphyxiation, torture, and loss of blood. Jesus, a descendant of Abraham, was a member of the house of David. He was the son of Joseph, a carpenter of Nazareth, and Mary, his devoted mother. Jesus was born in a stable in the city of Bethlehem, Judea. He is survived by his mother Mary, his faithful apostles, numerous disciples, and many other followers. Jesus was self-educated and spent most of his adult life working as a teacher. Jesus also occasionally worked as a medical doctor, and it is reported he healed many patients. Up until the time of his death, Jesus was teaching and sharing the good news, healing the sick, touching the lonely, feeding the hungry, and helping the poor. Jesus was most noted for telling parables about his Father's kingdom and performing miracles such as feeding over 5,000 people with only 5 loaves and 2 fish, and healing a man who was born blind. On the day before his death, he held a Last Supper celebrating the Passover feast, at which he foretold his death. The body was quickly buried in a stone grave, which was donated by Joseph of Arimathea, a loyal friend of the family. By order of Pontius Pilate, a boulder was rolled in front of the tomb. Roman soldiers were put on guard. In lieu of flowers, the family has requested that everyone try to live like Jesus did. Donations may be sent to anyone in need. Now, when this was sent to me, I read it and I thought, well, that's really interesting. It's kind of neat that somebody came up with that, but you may have noticed some flaws, and I noticed a few as I read it. Let's look at some of those that maybe we overlooked. Here are my reminders on this. First of all, the causes of death were asphyxiation, torture, and loss of blood is wrong. It was sin that caused his death. He willingly gave his life for us that we might have a relationship with him. Then, the part about he was the son of Joseph, a carpenter of Nazareth, is only half true. He was not just the adopted son of Joseph, but the son of God. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Third, he is survived by his faithful apostles. That's not strictly true. Truth is, they all abandoned him when he was taken prisoner. They were anything but faithful on that day. So much for Peter's never forsaking him. Fourth, on the day before his death, he held a Last Supper celebrating the Passover feast at which he foretold his death. That's incorrect. He had been telling his disciples for some time he would die by the hands of the unbelievers. Fifth, the body was quickly buried in a stone grave that was donated by Joseph of Arimathea, a loyal friend of the family. By order of Pontius Pilate, a boulder was rolled in front of the tomb. Roman soldiers were put on guard. This gives the impression that it was all over. That was it. End of story. That his life was finished. So where is the resurrection? Without the resurrection, this implies he was simply a man who left us a wonderful legacy, a reminder of God's love for us. But the one that is so obvious is obituary. There can never be an obituary for one who is still alive. Jesus died and rose again to give us life eternal. He now sits at the right hand of the Father, so we have no obituary because he lives. And we live because of him. Even if the obit had been written on the crucifixion day, the paper would have had to run a retraction on Monday. Jesus of Nazareth has died on Monday. Sorry, he's not there. He's still alive. Reminders? God has always given us reminders. He reminds us we have life in him. He reminds us that he loves us. He puts the bow out there for us to see and remember that God made a covenant with us, because what happened historically is the people broke the covenant, not God. The people always break the covenant, not God. So God sent his only son into the world. He gave his life as a reminder of God's love for us. Can't be changed. It happened. So as we go through this Lenten season, the question is, What reminders are we going to leave behind? Are there going to be reminders to our children that it's important to serve the Lord? Are we going to leave reminders that it's important to know that no matter where you go in life, God's with you, that you're loved, that Jesus walks with you in those paths? What kind of reminders? Lenten season is a season of reminders. What are you willing to give up so that you can serve God faithfully? Not just for 40 days, forever. What reminders are important to you to leave for your family? Think about it. And think about all the rainbows that you can put up for your family and friends to remember you by and what you stand for. Let us pray. Oh God, we come before you this day knowing that oftentimes we do forget our covenant with you and oftentimes we do not serve you as we should. We ask that you fill us with your Son's Spirit, that you help us to be more like him, that we be loving and forgiving, that we be healers, that we be a people of the covenant, one in which we keep. For we ask this in his name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.